seeds, the seeds of obedience being sown, you know, in my grandchildren. And I love to see them growing up. And I just was thrilled to see him reading this Bible that I've been reading to him since he was a little tiny thing. So it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. You know, God is there, and you know, thank you, Jonathan. We need to be reminded that he's everywhere. He's everywhere, and he's doing everything. So, we have to tune in to see where he is and what he's doing. So I'm really blessed that your grandniece is okay, Cindy. I mean, we hear about these horrendous things that the world, without the prayer, those babies die. Those kids die. They're gone. So we have to remember that the prayers that we pray are very, very powerful. And they really have a tremendous impact. That's why we're together, and that's why we pray. Okay, let's pray. Father, I do thank you. I thank you for my life. I am so grateful to you for what you've done in my life and what you continue to do every day, reminding me who you are and where you are and how you're moving and continually transforming me into the image of your son, Jesus. And I know every person that's here desires more of you, Lord. So our one heart cry is that our desire is for you. So we thank you, Father, for your presence and your love. In Jesus' name. Pastor Roy was sharing about the plants. And, you know, God has put us in such sync over the last couple of years that it really is miraculous. We are in two different streams, and we're reading totally different books. And God, the Holy Spirit, speaks the same things to us. We sit down at the table, and it's like the Holy Spirit just talks. We just share. So the Lord has been speaking a lot to me about seeds and plants. So it's so funny. Tori came in this morning to say hello. And she gave me a seed from Hawaii. So, because I'm talking about seeds, I wanted to, you know, God is right here. And I actually had 5 bulbs I saved for her from my bulbs that I planted, because she had asked me about, you know, when do you plant plants, and, you know, so it was God saying, you're on the right track. Yes, seeds. Okay. When we're born again, did I pray? Oh boy, I am so up there. Anyway, when we're born again, God plants a dormant, incorruptible seed in us. And his name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes in there too. And Father comes in too. And you know, there's all different ways to interpret where is Jesus, where is the Father. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks. But they're all the same person. The Holy Spirit is the same as the Father and Jesus. They all say the same thing. So sometimes I hear the Father's voice. Sometimes I hear Jesus' voice. Most of the time I hear the Holy Spirit's voice. But they all say the same thing. I love you, Marie. And they say the same thing to you. No matter what is going on, I have an encouragement from the Holy Spirit that he's with me. Even that seed, that is God saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Because, you know, it is difficult to be a pastor. It's difficult to lead worship every week. I am not a in front of people person. I'm really not. But God has pushed me and put me in this place. I remember the first time I sang in front of people, I was shaking. I was full frightened, and I didn't know what to do. I don't have that kind of fear anymore, thank God. But I still have to come out of myself every week and be the new creation that he's created me to be, and not be afraid. Because God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And that word has been here for 3 weeks, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Anyway, I'm going to talk about 3 different aspects of seed. The first thing is the incorruptible seed that has been planted in our hearts when we are born again, that bears the DNA of the Father God himself. Then I'm going to talk about the seeds that are sown by the Father. And then I'm going to talk about how we are sometimes as that seed. And what happens to us. You know, that seed has to be broken. The outer man, the human part of us, has to be broken so that his living, breathing presence comes forward. So that's the last thing. But I have been reading a book called, I think it was Nourishing the Seed. I've been reading it for about 2 years, a little bit here and there. So I read some of that book, and there was more things brought to light. In my devotional reading, I'm reading chronologically. The Bible was in Matthew about the parable of the sower. There are many, many sermons and many different aspects of the parable of the sower. I'm not even going to read it because I think you all know. But there's different soil in each one of the part of the sermon that Jesus was sharing with the multitude. Now, he talked and spoke about parables. I'm going to explain and share a little bit about why Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And there was a multitude. He went into a ship and went out so that his voice could go across the waters and the people. A multitude. Now, a multitude is a lot of people. And they didn't have any PA systems at the time. So the sound waves went across the water. I'm going to read what the Lord spoke to me 2 weeks ago and then a little bit of what he just said to me a couple of days ago. And something that I've been meditating on. You see, when I'm in devotionals, I'm praying for those few hours during the day, God will give me something and it'll pop off the page. And I know that all of you have experienced this, but it happens to me every day. And sometimes he'll bring something back from 2 weeks ago and say, you remember when I said that to you? Well, here it is. So, Mike, thank you, because the word was, in a different part of the scripture, I will give you a heart to know me. That is such a beautiful comfort to my heart, that God has given me a heart to know him. It's Jeremiah 24:7. This is what the Lord said to me. You have chosen the better part, Marie, the intimate fellowship of the living Christ, hearing the voice of the Master, my voice, that is Holy Spirit on the earth, to guide and direct your path. Communication in the inner man, in the inner life. There are many ways to serve Christ. There are many avenues that are open for us to walk. And this is what he's telling me. You've chosen the best part. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's what I've chosen. That's what I've chosen for my life. You have a glistening life. This is what he told me yesterday morning. You have a glistening life. So, of course, I looked up glistening. I have a pretty good idea. I wrote this song a million years ago called Dancing Sparkle, and that's what I was thinking. Well, you know, I remember when I wrote that song, and it's instrumental, and, you know, you listen to the melody and just the sound of the waves, and I was looking at the sun and was bouncing on the glistening of the water. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking about. So I looked it up. Shine. Glisten means to shine. Sparkle with light, Stephen. Shimmer. Or a myriad of tiny gleams. I was like, oh. I mean, I was sitting there for about an hour with that. A myriad of tiny gleams. I had to get up and cook. I said, oh my God. Anyway. I just love the way God speaks to me. And what he gives me, my inner man, that causes me to live such a beautiful life and to be so filled with joy. So I'm going to encourage you that whatever word or reality directs you Godward and opens the door into the heavenly realm is the living bread of the day for you. See him in your midst. So I want you to just take a moment. If you haven't already, we've had a beautiful time of worship and prophetic singing and prayer and amazing testimonies, but I just want you to just sit for a minute and close your eyes and see God here. See him in the midst of your heart and see him here in this church. The living word will open the path into the territory of the spirit realm as you walk out your daily living, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. The entrance and the unfolding and the revelation of your word gives light. Psalm 119, 130. I remember reading a book by James Gall, and in there was the testimony of Madame Guyon and what happened to her when she was in prison. And I just took it so into my heart. And she said that scripture, and I meditated on that scripture for, it could have been like a complete month. The unfolding of your word brings light. The entrance, the revelation of your word brings light. That's why we have to be in the word, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be in the word so that it can unfold and move in us and live. But she was the one that just reiterated in my own spirit of how important it was just to meditate and contemplate in the scriptures and wait till the door opens. The door opens. Cindy was talking about the open door. You know, the Lord opens and sets before us an open door that no man can shut. And it's the entrance into the kingdom of God. So whatever word it is that you're in, whatever way, God speaks to me in the garden. He speaks to me at the grocery store. Gets me amazing sales. I'm like, come home with money in my pocket. It's like, but that's God. He sends me places to go, people to talk to, what to say. He's such an amazing God, and he's so faithful. So Psalm 119, 130, if you just memorize that scripture, the entrance of your word gives light, you can focus on that, and you will enter it, the heavenly realm. You will. You absolutely will. 119, 130. The entrance of your word brings light, because we want light, don't we? We want the light. Romans 10, 8 and Deuteronomy 30, 14. Another word that Michael shared was that the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. Because we think, oh, where is God? You know, he's up in the sky. He's not here. Oh, but he is. Scripture says, see, I know what the word says, so I believe it and I can live there. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis of faith which we preach. God is always desiring to show himself to us. That's what he desires. He wants to show himself to us. Psalm 19 reads, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. So there's no way that anybody can tell me that you don't know there's a God. I mean, there's no man that could create the heavens and the stars and the earth and the sun. So many times I look out my kitchen window and see the water and see the sunsets, and it's just amazing. I'm so privileged, I really am. And then later on, I love Psalm 19 because it talks about God displaying himself in nature. And then it goes on, well, the word of the Lord talks about, the rest of it talks about the human beings and what we need. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Your soul has to be converted, yes? It does. It does. But the law of the Lord is perfect. If you read the rest of the psalm, it's all about what you need as a person, and God showing himself to us as a human being. He was here. I've been reading something. I've been meditating on it. It's like that Jesus couldn't sin because he wasn't born into the earth. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he wasn't formed. He was formed in his mother's womb, but he was God. He was fully God. So he couldn't sin in his being. I thought that was pretty cool. He was attacked from outside. That gives me tremendous hope that if Jesus is inside of me, eventually, even as Pastor Roy shared, he's just walking with the Lord anymore. You don't anymore, you get to a point where you don't have to make a choice anymore. The choice is already made. You're just walking with him. Jesus was fully man. He was also fully God. So I like that. I'm going to read a little more about it and study it. Maybe I'll be able to share with you. I'm just receiving it myself now, so I can't really. But I like the whole concept of it, the whole truth of it, was that Jesus was fully God in himself because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't conceived by his earthly father. So in that womb was God. Jesus and God was in the womb. So he wasn't tempted as we are inside of himself to sin. There was temptations outside. There was attack outside. But I love that whole concept. So the more that Jesus is in me and the more that he takes over in my life, the more that I submit to him and let him transform me, the more of Jesus I have. The song of the birds, the song of the clouds, the song of the wind, the song of a tiny baby laughing or crying, the song of love, marriage, family, the song of friendship, the song of fellowship, the song of a good meal shared, the song of a grateful heart, the song of a task well done, the song of victory over sin, the song of a new adventure in glory, the song of the Lord's song in the heavenly realm that resonates in our hearts, all tell us of the glory of God. And that's really what it's all about. We sang it this morning. It's glory, his glory. And the glory of God is his presence. When we're born again, we get that incorruptible seed, and he sings a new song over us. He sings a song of redemption. He sings a song of creation. And he sings a song of a father. What a beautiful concept and a beautiful reality that God is our father. And he's a real father. You know, my father made mistakes. And I made mistakes as a mom. But God the Father doesn't make any mistakes. So when we come into his sonship and be a daughter of him, we can expect a perfect father. Everything begins anew. When the Lord sings his song over us, everything becomes new. So when we're born again, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. He dwells in our hearts by faith, Ephesians 3:17. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm, and your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. 1 Peter 1:23. I know sometimes my carnal mind will be thinking, oh no, but I don't listen to that anymore. So you be quiet. Thursday, Olivia is like a bottomless pit, and she just eats all day long, and she would eat, and she just loves it. She loves food. I don't care what it is. She'll eat it. So she just got finished eating, you know, a whole muffin with peanut butter and jelly on it, and peppers, and vegetables, and water, and milk, and apples. You know, she's sitting there. We're coloring, and then I said, I have to sit down. I'm tired. What am I going to do, Grammy? She said, oh, I need something else to eat. I said, no, you're not hungry. I said, you're not hungry. You're bored. I am, I'm bored. I said, well, why don't you just sit on the couch and be bored? Well, I will. So she sits on the couch. I'm going to sit on the couch and be bored, she goes. So, okay. And then she says, can I have the Bible, Grammy? I said, yeah. So I get it up, pick it up. She sits down. She starts reading the Bible. So she's, now you have to realize, I do this with my grandkids. So she's sitting there reading the Bible. And then I said, you know, Olivia, sometimes you have to tell your belly to be quiet. So she goes, belly, be quiet. So good. I said, you know, I have to tell my belly to be quiet sometimes too. She goes, I'm going to tell it again. Belly, be quiet. Anyway. I don't know, whatever I was doing. I was doing the cleaning up or whatever. And then I turn around and look, and like four of them were all sitting around reading the Bible, sitting on the couch. So it's just an amazing thing. We do have to speak to our souls, don't we? We have to tell our bellies to be quiet. She will take that with her for the rest of her life, just like Olivia, fear not. She knows now. And every time she goes in the bathroom and closes the door with the light on, when she finishes, she comes out and goes, Grammy, I went in the bathroom all by myself. And I said, fear not, Olivia. You know, there are things that we can pour into the next generation that brings them life. So every time she's at my, now think, every time she's at my house, you think, oh, so many things happen. She remembers. Every time she comes out of the bathroom, she says to me, fear not, Olivia. And, you know, that is an amazing thing. It really is so amazing. I love it. I love it. Tell your belly to shut up. No, be quiet. So we have to do that, don't we? But we do have a life conceived by God. We have a life in us that's been conceived by God. That's a beautiful thought. So Matthew 13 is a parable of the sower. It's also in Mark 4. It's just about, you know, you think about Jesus. You know, this is Jesus. He's standing on the edge of the shore, and there's a multitude around him. and he wants to teach. I love to teach about the word. So he goes in the boat, and then he starts to talk. So what is he talking? What's he talk about? He talks about what people understand of the day. They were farmers. They understood, farmers, fishermen. So he tells a story about a farmer sowing seed. If you read Matthew 13, and you read, and it's also in Mark 4, a little different, but right in the middle, right after he finishes talking and sharing about the different seeds and the soil, and, you know, the whole thing, then he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him be listening. Of course, this is the Amplified. I don't know what he said exactly, but let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. Hearing, a hearing ear is your heart. So he was telling this multitude, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm sure he wasn't yelling. I get a little frustrated sometimes. You know, God said, listen to me. So listen. So we can read these parables that Jesus spoke and shared with the multitude and then come away, if we listen, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? Now, he told me a lot, which I don't have time to share. But if you think about the different kinds of soil, you know, there was the rocky soil. There was the soil, you know, they planted the very shallow, you know, first shallow. Then there's a rocky soil. Then there's a thorny. There's all thorns and thistles. And then there's the good soil. So when I read it the third or fourth time, I thought the Holy Spirit said to me, you're the good soil. Because I've been born again. If you've been born again, you're good soil too. You're good soil. And in the good soil, then he said to me, I'm going to give you a specific revelation about the parable of the sower. So then I get all excited. Okay. Yeah. So I'm waiting, you know, I'm reading and studying and praying and waiting and writing. And I said, okay, well, what is it? The seed that is sown, and that's Jesus, the uncorruptible seed, will always produce me. That seed, that incorruptible seed, will always produce Jesus Christ. No matter what kind of soil it is, it will always produce Jesus. Will always produce Jesus, because the life is in the seed. Anyway, so afterwards, that's a little bonus. The disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak to the multitude in parables? How many of you have read that and said, yeah, why do you speak to them in parables? And then sometimes I didn't really understand what the answer that Jesus gave. Jesus, so this is what he answered, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. So he would talk to them in parables and put the truth of the living gospel, him, self, his way, in the story, in a way that they can connect to the story, and it will nudge them and encourage them maybe to follow him, maybe. But that's his whole point, is to motivate. When a heart is ready, and then it says, when a heart is ready to hear, insights flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. How many of us have friends that we've shared the gospel with that have started coming to church, whatever, and then they fall away and they stop coming to church and they don't read their Bibles? Well, that's what happens. They become dull of hearing because they didn't respond with an eagerness and continue to seek the Lord, continue to grow and are transformed. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples, and he says that to us. Now, you shared, Stephen, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You know, I looked up, because I kept hearing, you cannot be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple. I went, okay, so I looked up the scripture, you cannot be. It's not deny yourself, that's not the scripture. The scripture says you have to hate your mother and father and everybody else and everything around you, or you cannot be my disciple. And I remember when I first read that, I was like, oh my God, you want me to hate my mother? I finally forgave her, and I don't hate her anymore. Anyway, that's another story for another time. I love my mom. But the thing is that what he meant was you have to hate everything in this world and you have to love him more. That's really what it is. You have to love him more, that you'd be obedient to him. Not that you would hate, but he uses that word. Or else you cannot be my disciple. So if we want to be his disciples, we have to, you know, he that saves his life will lose it, and he that gives up his life will save it. So the life that we have in the natural, we have to give to God. And it's not something that this mind can comprehend and understand, because this mind is not in line with the mind of Christ until it gets born again and renewed and transformed. Okay, so then Jesus takes aside his disciples, and this is what he says to them. To you it has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Really? Yes. We can know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. A lot of you here do know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Sharing a testimony like that, Sydney and Steve, that is knowing the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You can access the heavenly realm because he's in you and he loves you. But to them it has not been given. You've been given insight into the kingdom. For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given, and he will be furnished richly so that he will have an abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Matthew 13:11, there's a Bible that I downloaded called The Companion. So powerful. Really supposed to be the Hebrew Greek, and it has all kinds of notes that you can look up all the words and stuff. Very good. This is what it says in the Companion Bible, Matthew 13:11. It has been permanently given to you to get to know the secrets belonging to the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it has not been given. He talks about the soil. In the good soil, fruitfulness is not hindered. So we want to keep our hearts soft and pliable before the king, so we can have the good soil, that the fruit will not be hindered. It will always produce the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the DNA of the very God of all flesh, for whom nothing is too difficult or impossible. Jesus is always healthy, powerful, and overcoming. He is the incorruptible seed planted by the Master. So how do we become the good soil? We'll talk a little bit about that. Consider another aspect of planting. Think in the aspect of us, we're the seed, okay? John 12:24 says, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I remember the first time that a woman of God gave me that word. I was in a large church, and I was in a small room sharing the power of the anointing of the king in worship while all other things were going on that were not necessarily. And the woman came up and gave me this word. Of course, the presence of God was in that room. And the women that were there, and the men, mainly women, were listening. They really got touched by the presence of God. And she came up at the end and she gave me this scripture. I was like, what does that mean? It was a long time ago. Maybe I had Sarah. Anyway, it was a long time ago. But every time I read the scripture, I get a blank. And it dies. How does that scripture go? And I have to go look it up again. Unless a kernel of the wheat falls into the ground and dies, that's where I hit. It dies. What? What happens after it dies? It remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So who has to die? Who is the kernel of wheat that has to die? And then it produces many seeds. It produces the many seeds of the kingdom. It also, in some of the versions, it says it abides alone. I said, oh, I don't like that thought. You don't want to be alone, do you? I remember when I got born again, man, every person that I met, that, and I didn't even know I was saved, was all of a sudden this immediate connection with them. I was like, oh, I've got all these friends now I didn't have before. But the death to self is part of the process. This is what continually has to happen to us in order that for us to continually grow and mature, to become the likeness of Jesus. That's what we want, right? We want to look like Jesus. This is a picture of how God deals with us as sons. Chastens us, scourges us. Ow! But he does. Scripture says that. And if you're not being chastened or scourged, maybe you aren't a son. So you need to look at that. I'm going to just give you a description of what happens when a seed is planted in the soil. The husk, the tough outer layer in which the embryo of the seed is encased, must be broken down so that water and oxygen can reach the embryo or life center. Our spirit core, that part of us indwelt by God, is encased in a human nature, a nature prone to sin and with a bend towards unrighteousness. No. Ah, yes. Our old patterns of thinking and acting have to be broken so that the real power can emerge. Broken. How many of you like to hear you have to be broken? You know, I remember when that whole thing changed for me. I think I was saved 2 years. And I used to cry every time God broke me and thank him, because I realized what a wretch I was and how rebellious I was and how bent I was on what I wanted to do and iniquity. And I just started to welcome him. Any trial, anything, I was just worshiping and thanking God for it. And I remember so many Christians, they were, what? How can you thank God for that? I said, what, are you kidding? Don't you see what God is doing in me? Like, it's amazing. And he still does it. I welcome brokenness. I do. Being broken doesn't mean all sorry and sad and having a miserable life. That's not what broken means. Being broken means a soul whose self-life has been exposed and its whole broken by the Spirit's power. Pastor Roy's been sharing about this is the gospel, folks. This is what the real gospel is, that our soul is being broken so that our spirit man can rise up and bring change. We're going to need a lot of change in this country. So church, rise up. Rise up. It's an ongoing process. The Spirit reveals elements of the old nature that is still in operation. Doesn't bring condemnation and guilt. Just, Marie. He brings it out into the open so that he can break their hold over us, leaving us free. 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 Leaving us free to experience the victorious life of Christ within. That is the hope of glory. So start thanking God, whatever place you find yourself. Some of it's uncomfortable and we don't like it, but God is faithful. All my bones shall say there is none like you. The broken person who is wholly dependent on the indwelling life will find all the inexhaustible riches of the kingdom. All of the resources, inexhaustible and unending, eternal resources of the kingdom of heaven. And all the fullness of the Holy Spirit's power at their disposal. Isn't that what we want? Yes. Cindy prayed, and that little girl is still alive. We all joined with her because she shared it with us. And we were able to pray that little girl. Now we got to pray that she gets up quicker. And that there's a quickening in her bones. That all her bones will say, there's none like you. And you know what? That's a secret life. That's a secret hidden life. Cindy may not be able to ever share with her grandies about her dream and what happened. Who knows? There are times now, things from many years ago that God did in some of my family that I can sit down now, maybe I can share some of the things and how God answered the cries of my heart when they were in need and showed them who he was. Okay. One admonition of the Father is this, here from the Old Testament. Yes, the Lord has this to say to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Like a farmer breaking up hard, unplowed ground, you must break your rebellious will and make a new beginning. Just as a farmer must clear away thorns, lest the seed is wasted. The thorns are the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, those things that draw us away from the kingdom, that we think in our self that the enemy will come and say, oh, you need this, you need that, you need this other thing. Those are the thorns. You must get rid of the sin that is ruining your lives, Jeremiah 4:3. And then Father has promised, and this I just found yesterday, to drench the newly plowed ground with rain, Psalm 65:10. Yay! Drench it, Lord. Drench it. Drench my heart with yourself. We all need to be broken and plowed before God and let him have his own way. Brokenness is the ground from which spiritual power grows. This is the soil that God can plant his seed deep into and expect a hundredfold harvest. The secret to the... I already shared that already. Okay. But I will read it again. The secret to the parable of the sower is that the seed that is sown is incorruptible and will grow no matter what. The continuation of the growth of a healthy spirit life depends on us submitting to this process of brokenness. Why do you keep talking about the same thing over and over again? This is the gospel. This is it. There is no other way to come into the understanding of how Jesus works and moves. If you read the scripture, that's all. It's all pointing to Christ. All pointing to death on the cross, coming to... We have to die on our own crosses and come out on the other side of resurrection. But we do come out into resurrection life and power. We do come out and ascend. Amen. It is God's work to produce the qualities of his Son in us. Can we do this? No. No. Our job is to let go of the outer shell and let him raise up the inner seed, the inner incorruptible DNA of the living Christ that is in each one of us. I know that sometimes when I react and respond certain ways, and afterwards I think, who was that? I was talking to my niece about my good friend and my wonderful sister, Linda, and she was telling me about what she was doing, and I found myself asking questions. Does she have a job? Is she working? What is she doing? You know. In my heart, I was just concerned for her. I knew she was struggling, and I pray for her all the time. But that was not the way that I would have responded had I remained in that thinking of where I was 2 years ago. It just came out, oh, and I know she was surprised that I was asking her about her. And my brother and my sister, other sister, were surprised that I was asking. But it's the nature of God, the reality of the living presence of Jesus in me that was concerned for my sister. I am still concerned for her. And I do love her. And as the Lord moves, we'll be together again. Philippians 1:6. Now God is the one that does this work, isn't it? Isn't he? Not it. It's a he. Philippians 1:6. I am convinced that the God who began this good work in you will carry it through to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of work, isn't it? Psalm 138:8 reads, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. I remember many times saying, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? And I did not understand it. I did not. I just said, okay. Now I say, yeah. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, and he will perfect and accomplish and fulfill his purpose for me. He will accomplish and work out his purpose for me. Psalm 138:8. For his faithful and steadfast loving kindness is everlasting and endures forever. At the end of that verse, it says, don't abandon me and do not forsake the work of your hands, for you made me. Sometimes we're in that cry place. Oh, my God, don't abandon me. Don't forsake me. I'm a mess. Come, help me. And you know, the minute that you turn to him, he's right there. So he knows the plans that he has for you, plans for the future, Jeremiah 29:11, and a good end, not the enemy's desire for you, not the devil's desire for you, but his desire for you, what he wants to do, what he has created you for. Each one of us have been created for a specific purpose, and many of us, many purposes. I've done a lot of different things in my life, and here I am in this place doing this. Never, no, not true. I always desired to preach the gospel. Even when I was teaching kids music, I said, Lord, this is not enough. I want to teach them about you. And there was a cry in my heart for many, many years involved in all these other things that Lord, I just want to preach the gospel. So I'm in a place of fulfillment in my life. I'm doing what I was created to do at this point, and I'm very grateful to God for giving me this privilege. That's what I look at. It's a privilege. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that you gave me and that I was able to articulate and share. I pray that on the wings of your spirit, Lord, you would move into every heart and bring the truth of this word, Lord, that incorruptible seed that is made of your DNA, Abba Father, that we belong to you, each one of us. We belong to you, Lord. We belong to you, Lord, and we thank you for the life of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus came to the earth as a little baby and lived and overcame so that we can overcome. So, Lord, we want to be more than conquerors. We want to be flooded and filled with your life, and that in your light, Lord, we see light. We see life. We thank you that you are the life, and we want to be a reflection of that light in each one of our lives, Lord. So help us. Help us. Continue. I lift every soul here and every soul that's part of this church that's not here. I pray, Lord God, for each one that's here, that there will be a special unction from the Holy One in this afternoon as they drive home, as they sit outside or inside, whatever they do for the rest of the day, that there will be an unction from the Holy One. And that you will teach. You will teach, Holy Spirit, because you are the teacher. Open and expand the truths of your love for each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.